Welcome to Apostrophe Cast. In this episode, Shane Jones brings us excerpts from his debut novel, Lightboxes. These mystifying tableaux of Hummel-like not-so-innocence, tearing at the edges of a mad gingerbread world, evoke Henry Darger, Edward Gorey, even Lewis Carroll. But in these excerpts where it is always February, in which hordes of maniacal priests curse flight and children hope to repair the sky, originality as unique as the winter light of childhood suffuses an unforgettable space Shane Jones has fashioned out of pure imagination. Please enjoy Shane Jones.
Excerpts from Lightboxes. Thaddeus. We sat on the hill. We watched the flames inside the balloons heat the fabric to neon colors. The children played prediction. They pointed to empty holes in the sky and waited. Sometimes all the balloons lit up at once and produced the nightly umbrella effect over the town beneath, whose buildings were filling with the sadness of February. Nights like this will soon die, Sella whispered in my ear. Days became cooler, clouds thickened. We sat on the hill. We watched the flames inside the balloons heat the fabric to neon colors. Nights like this will soon die, said Bianca. She ran from the woods, where she saw three children twisting the heads of owls. Nights like this will soon die, said the butchers, marching down the hill. We sat there for the last time to watch the balloons, the neon colors stitched in our minds. Pigs shrieked and windows shattered across the town. A snout, massive and pink, traced the inside of a balloon in its arc. The fabric stretched around the dark nostrils and stopped just before tearing, and it stayed there. Still, the children stood in a line with their lanterns raised to watch the first snowfall of February cover the crop fields. Sella lowered her head. Sella folded her hands in her lap. Sella looked at the backs of the children's heads and saw ice form knots in their hair. We can only pray, whispered Sella. I looked at Sella and remembered the dandelion stuck in her teeth. I thought of a burning sun, an iceberg melting in her folded hands. They held hands. They formed dozens of circles around their deflated, smoldering balloons. Balloon silken globes, the colors magenta, grass green, and sky blue, were mud-strewn wet with holy water and burned black through the stitching. Bianca said, I don't understand. Thaddeus said, I don't either. Is this February's doing? She said. Maybe, said Thaddeus, who looked up at the sky. A scroll of parchment was nailed to an oak tree, calling for the end of all things that could fly. Everyone in town gathered around to read it. Trumpets moaned from the woods. Birds dropped from branches. The priest walked through town, swinging axes. Bianca clutched Thaddeus's leg, and he picked her up under the arms and told her to hold him like a baby tree around the neck, and Thaddeus ran. Back outside their home, the balloons were spread out on the ground, baskets hacked by axes. The priests dipped their lanterns into the fabric of the balloons. Thaddeus, Sella, and Bianca and others from town formed a circle by holding hands. February, they repeated, until it became a chant, until they all imagined a little tree sprouting through the center of their burning balloon. The priests walked down the hill and into town, where they stopped at the town school and the town library. They confiscated textbooks, tore out pages about birds, flying machines, zeppelins, witches on brooms, balloons, kites, winged mythical creatures. They crumpled up paper airplanes the children had folded, and they dumped the pages into a burning pit in the woods. The priests rolled up their sleeves and sank their rusty spike shovels into the mound of dirt and refilled the hole. Some of the priests felt tears roll down their cheeks but didn't feel sadness. Others forced their minds to unravel the memory of wind. They nailed a second scroll of parchment to a second oak tree. It stated that all things possessing the ability to fly had been destroyed. It said that no one living in the town should speak of flight ever again. It was signed February. Thaddeus, Bianca, and Sella painted balloons everywhere they could. They pulled up floorboards and painted rows of balloons onto the dusty oak. Bianca drew tiny balloons on the bottoms of teacups. Behind the bathroom mirror, under the kitchen table, and on the inside cabinet doors, balloons appeared. And then Sella painted an intricate intertwining of kites on Bianca's hands and wrists, the tails extending up her forearms and around her shoulders. "How long will February last?" Bianca asked, stretching her hands out to her mother, who was blowing on her arms. "I really have no idea," said Thaddeus, who watched the snow fall outside the kitchen window. In the distance, the snow formed into mountains on top of mountains. "Finished," her mother said. "You will have to wear long sleeves from now on, but you'll never forget flight. You can wear beautiful dresses. That's what you can wear." Bianca studied her arms. The kites were yellow with black tails. The color melted into her skin. A breeze blew over the fresh ink and through her hair. "Thaddeus, I kept a kite hidden in my workshop where the priest couldn't find it. I unfolded the kite from its dusty box and told Bianca she could fly it for a few minutes. I tried to see if the priests were in the woods, but only saw owls sidestepping through the snow. I said to try again after the kite failed to take off. A hand pushed the kite to the ground. She tried a few more times, and the kite slammed downward. I saw a cloud shaped like a hand. I thought of Bianca and her happiness like bricks and mud. "It's February," said Bianca. I said, "I'm sorry this didn't work out. We can try again." "What's the point?" she said. "It's the end of flight. It's February." "The point," I said, "is to keep trying for the sake of trying." That week we attempted to fly the kite each night, but what felt like a wind gust on my skin wasn't enough to carry the kite. I went into my workshop, grabbed some glass jars, and back outside I handed them to Bianca. I took the kite and ran as fast as I could. I ran like a madman, my mouth open in a sad air-swallowing attempt, heard Bianca laughing in the distance, looked for the priests in the woods sharpening their axes, dreamed of Sella and Bianca holding hands with August, carried the kite at my shoulder until I let it go and felt it collapse on my back. I fell face first on the ground, ate snow and mud, tore my knee open on a rock. Back up the hill, Bianca swirled the glass jars through the air. The kites on her arms twitched. "Here," she said, handing me the jars with careful kite-stringed fingers. "They are full now. Maybe the professor can figure out what is wrong with our sky. Maybe we can figure out February." Kaldor Clemens. "Thaddeus Lowe, the guy who flies balloons. I spent my days collecting sap from the trees. Still do. Always covered in sap. Tree bark splintered under my nails. I'd be in the woods loosening the buckets and I'd hear the sky hissing. I'd look up. I'd see a scrawny guy with a beard in a basket that had a balloon fastened above it. The balloon was yellow with green stitching. He couldn't have been more than a few feet above the tallest tree. At one point, the basket brushed the heads of the trees and pine cones rained down. Gave me a nasty gash on my nose. I tasted blood, but that was no bother. I went up in a balloon once with my sisters and we watched the sun roll across the horizon, clouds going red and pink, colors swirling around us in a mist. I shouldn't be thinking about that anymore because flight is over. Some people in this town say the more thoughts you have about flight, the worse February haunts you. And then there's the priests who have locked away believers of flight someplace at the edge of town. But that's just a dumb rumor. Could be true, though. If given the chance, I'd break open the skull of February. I'd swing a nice big bucket of sap right into the side of his head and watch the ice of his mind explode like confetti. Last night, everyone in town dreamed the clouds fell apart like wet paper in their hands. 6 reports from the priests. 1. The solution attempted to fly today. 2. They failed. 3. To hell with February, one member shouted. The rest jeered. They are a loud bunch. They wear bird masks. They throw apples through clouds. 4. The balloon collapsed on one side. The flames shot up. The flames spilled out and crawled across the field and up the birch trees where flightless birds burned. 5. The snow continues to fall. 6. There has been talk of a war. When Thaddeus arrived home, he told Sella about a war against February. She bathed Bianca in mint water, ran a cloth in circles around her back. "I don't know if a war will help anything," she said. "It's the solution," said Thaddeus. "They have nothing to lose. I don't know. It's something we should consider. For her sake." He tilted his head towards Bianca. "Come," said Sella, and Thaddeus followed her voice as if the word was a hook thrown from the bathwater. He knelt down beside the tub and placed his face in the mint water. Bianca felt him close to her back. The water rose to her chin. She remembered what it was like to swim in the river with June. The drain in the tub was a fish biting her toe. Thaddeus held his face in the water long enough for the mint to fully absorb into his beard. "There," said Sella, tugging upwards with a fistful of Thaddeus's hair. Water poured from his beard. Thaddeus walked into the kitchen and made a cup of tea, then went back into the bathroom. He watched his wife continue to bathe Bianca. He made sure to tip the teacup high enough when he sipped so that Bianca could see the balloon painted on the bottom. Maybe the priests aren't really priests. Look at the way their silly robes move. I want to be safe. I want to live inside a turtle shell. Thaddeus tugs on his beard. A little mint water drips on his palm. He rubs his hands together. He walks into Bianca's bedroom and soothes her arms and legs with his hands. The idea is that any sadness that occurs during sleep can be decreased by mint into the skin, into the lungs and heart. Thaddeus and Sella take turns, applying the mint throughout the night. Before daybreak, Thaddeus smells honey and smoke coming from Bianca's bedroom. In her room, he notices the window is open and snow is blowing in. He throws the covers off the bed. He looks around the room. He looks under the bed. He looks in the closet. He looks in the hallway. He looks at his feet. He looks at the bed. He looks at the bed. Bianca's bed is a mound of snow and teeth. Bianca is gone.
Thank you for listening. Please join us April 29th for Mark Elling.